Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. We're back after a brief hiatus. Brian was in Chile with the
Yeah,
penguins.
we're in vacation, didn't get a chance, no internet in Patagonia, so we
I
are
headed to
here.
the Bitcoin conference as well, so this is like the post-Bitcoin conference wrap-up episode, but we're kind of gonna like say where we are with the markets as usual to start off. And
And then we'll jump in right into the what it was like in the conference. So, like Bitcoin, Ethereum has it had probably like 2 weeks ago, it probably had like a nice like pump, probably like a nice like
got like
bounce back.
43, maybe 44.
And then this past week, people blame it on the CPI announcement. Taxes April 14th or 18th is the day, and people are still selling up until then. So maybe, I mean, people are blaming it on that, or maybe it's just a macro kind of bullish or no bearish type of market. And so Bitcoin has, I mean, the past or yesterday was when it dipped probably like 10%, one of those 10% drops. And Bitcoin kind of recovered, went down to 40, and now it's at like 41, but it was at 44, and then it
And also,
dipped.
like Arthur Hayes was doom posting again.
Yeah, he had another
30K
prediction,
Bitcoin, 1K
2500,
ETH or something, or 2500 ETH.
2500 ETH, but still, Ethereum dropped from 3300 to 3000,
Mean, 3,000 looks definitely like
and
key
now it
for
bounced back to 3100.
like 3 and 4 seem about.
Yeah, 40 and 3. I mean, Suzu, we like round numbers, right? So for some reason, everything goes, people speculate on what the market's like, but people are just now the goblins are coming out now that we're dipping.
No, and like overall the macro, the videos from Shanghai are like pretty
Yeah,
crazy.
so yeah, the US might be pretty good as far as COVID control. I was just in Chile,
Inflation though is like
and
killing the
in yeah.
stuff.
Well, inflation, COVID, outside of the US, COVID is still around. Like, people are still wearing masks. Like,
And they're talking about how the shortages have already hit, I believe, parts of Africa that relied on Ukraine for wheat. I had just seen that there was a shipment that had gone, it actually was very interesting because it was a country that had defaulted on their,
oh, yeah.
was it Sri
Sri
Lanka?
Lanka, yeah. Sri Lanka defaulted on their
So
loans.
10% is owed to, or roughly, oh, slightly under to China, also roughly under 10% to the World Bank. They're in default of their loans. They might have like starvation. Like they don't have enough in their current account. When people do import export as countries,
Yeah.
they probably won't get more food imported, and there might be a, but there is a food shortage. So food shortages around the world triggered by Ukraine, as well as the rising gas prices.
Yeah, I think in the US you're kind of fortunate where it's like it probably doesn't hit you as hard, but outside the US definitely the world is still like hurting, and you can just now that you can travel, people are going outside the US and
But travel is increasing. Apparently, Delta has increased their prices by 9%, I believe, to keep up with. There's a lot of places pricing in inflation. And so people are, retail is getting kind of beaten down. So, the new entrants in the market to pump your bags, the new suckers are.
yeah, where are we gonna get those? I feel like there's not that many new people retail going into crypto right now for sure.
I
Because
think
like,
this is where like it seems though, and then we can kind of transfer to what happened at the Bitcoin conference, but like seems this is probably where secretly like a lot of industrial
yeah, the big companies, the corporations that are
secretly putting on their
buying,
bank
yeah,
on their balance
balance
sheets,
sheets.
and so doing MicroStrategy increased their stake. It wasn't even news. And then also there's Do Kwon, who's
Yeah, he's buying like 100. He probably bought like $300 million worth of
They're, I
Bitcoin the
believe he's
past 2
purchasing
weeks.
185 million at a time.
Yeah, and he's I
And
mean,
he's
it's
just
gonna
like
be about 1 billion because of the reserve funding.
for Luna. which they also added AVAX to the reserve.
$100 million.
But now it's like, is it just a slush fund? Is it just a hedge fund?
But the
fund
thing is that every single time, well, I mean, it's all about the fugazi fugazi, right? Where it's like,
it's a woozy, it's a wazzy. Yeah.
You make it so it's so complicated that you don't even know how it works anymore, right?
Yeah, whose money? Whose money?
That's how the housing market was. Like,
it's
you
like,
know,
well,
who's default? Who's loaning out to loans anywhere? Like, who's getting these loans?
I got insurance from him on my house burning down. And then they're betting whether my house burns down with 10 times as much money as the
10
house
times leverage. So it's like, put all these high coins into the reserve and then
this is going to be a free-flowing like catch-up episode. And so there's a lot of stuff that, and I was talking actually at the Bitcoin conference, and it was really interesting where people were saying that there is a space for this podcast to be topical. And I think that what like I was telling people is that I'm like involved in that. Really, we're not like overanalyzing charts or like giving super deep dives into particular technologies. Although we're looking to get more guests and do kind of like separate interviews to the normal podcast. But normally, like just staying up to date with what's happening that week can, you know, get you ahead of the average. Yep. And then people are saying that because they're like, a lot of people, it was weird, would be like testing credentials. And they're like, are you really into this? Like, do you know about this? I was talking about my NFT project. People are questioning, like, are you just some like business school person that
there's
just got
into
this?
There's a lot of scams
space?
Out there. So it's like,
and there's a lot
are
of like new,
questions.
There's like the Web 2 people coming into Web 3. And I'm not trying to discourage or disparage the people, but there was a team that was raising funds that was really professional. And it's a guy from Apple, as well as a guy that had just worked in finance his whole life. And the professionalism and the seriousness and the vibes like have changed to a certain extent.
So that's what Daniel was kind of saying. Like last year when we went, you still had people in like weird costumes. You had like, you know, that guy giving out Bitcoin baptisms. And I still
I did see some crazies though.
Yeah.
I did see some crazies. There was one guy. It was like, he was like, BSV, Bitcoin Satoshi vision is the truth. And then on the flip side of it, he was like, God loves. And he was like, you know, walking around with a guitar. And there were some people like that, but it seemed very like industry insiders and like serious people. And also like secondary professional services, which seemed like that's what you get out of the, you know, the Bitcoin conference. But also other events just as
I feel like last year there weren't that many professional like people handing out like business
just
cards
kind of
like,
random stuff.
It was more like a feeler like, oh, I'm kind of doing this but I'm not sure.
No.
But now people
and this was everybody was like, yeah, we're raising a fund or we're raising our Series B, we're raising our Series A, or like we've been invested in and we service this niche in the market. A lot of people who are like, you know, just like niche products for another angle that we were talking about was coming in and developing CryptoLegal.com, which is now it's somewhat launched, but it's definitely like far from its final form, you know, the original Frieza. But like a lot of people just doing legal services or like financial services, almost like money managers moving into the Bitcoin and crypto space.
Well, I can tell you for sure there's a market for crypto taxing or like, you know, tax accounts or being a CPA that specializes.
This year, it feels like everybody finally got into crypto.
That's a market that's untapped. If you're a CPA or like in a
it's shooting through the roof.
Or if you are experienced in like, you can definitely make some money or like be a specialist in a very growing field. And that's like something to get ahead at.
Yeah.
Like on crypto Twitter, there's especially with the tax deadline coming out, they're like all these, you know, tweets saying like, oh, I'm just gonna go to jail because I didn't fill out my taxes correctly, or you know, anybody has like tax references or like what kind of tax program you use, you know, TurboTax is starting to get like you know, crypto services. And then, you know, Coinbase is partnering with, you know, Coin Tracker, which sucks. Don't use it. Like, I've been, like, they totally got all my transactions wrong. But for sure, like, crypto and tax and accounting definitely is needed in this space.
And so we were speaking with a company. Actually, there were three separate self-directed crypto IRA managers. And then the intricacies, because I was very interested in speaking with one of the teams about how what the different teams have to offer, and it was the different fees, whether they were custodial, non-custodial, where the money is being held, where the coins are being held, what their security is. And so, no, this IRA thing was basically like, everyone's going to be doing this in the future, and you should get ahead of it because you can save on taxes if everything goes up.
Yeah.
And then we have three different companies, and we know them, and we don't mind. And the pie is growing at like, and this company was raising their Series B for, I'm going to check at some of the business cards that I got actually, but a Series B is typically, you know, a company starts with seed funding of maybe up to $1 million, perhaps less, but the Series B at $175 million at a valuation of something over $1 billion. I mean, it's kind of incredible how quickly they grew in like 2.5 years. 170 employees, and then like
even a year,
$2 billion assets under management, where people are, you know, using them for their IRA funds. And then I believe they did very low rates of 1%, but some places were charged 5%. But this is all in a tax-free account. And so with the IRA, people can go up to, you know, $6,000 a year, 6.5 or 7, I think, if you're over 50. And then the self-directed crypto tax IRA is something that we're looking to explain to people on Crypto Legal.
Well, you know, Choice IRA, that's like one of the main companies. I know Meltem is a part of, Meltem Demir's. Choice IRA, like, yeah, that's definitely a thing. If you can have tax-free Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I mean, besides that, it was an interesting conversation with this guy who did trust funds for like generational planning. Apparently upon discussing with him, I went with my dad. We were going to maybe include him, but he said, next time. But he was talking with them, and then he got out of this guy that it was like for the trusts, it was like some type of swap over where there's like giant fees up front. But if you're at this certain level, like a lot of these things are things that people haven't explored because, you know, like my grandpa could have told me about how to do taxes, but crypto taxes, this is a new wild, wild west. And especially with the changing of the rules. I mean, we're going to get into the news about Celsius.
There's no rules in place.
Yeah.
People say that they're talking with US regulators and they're trying to prepare and, you know, cooperate. And this is being bad news because I think we're just bowing down. Like for Celsius, for example, you know, very safe way, kind of in between decentralized and centralized, like exchanges or like, you know, because
they have an
accounts.
App that you can download off the Google and the Apple store.
And then
they're in touch with regulators.
Like
they do KYC.
It was basically, like a Coinbase, but you couldn't trade. Like that was a beta kind of thing or beta testing.
I locked my ETH in there for quite a while.
Yeah, I had my link in there for a very long time because that was like one of the best, or it's still in there because that's like one of the best single-sided staking rates.
It's pretty easy to use, to be honest.
Very easy. Very Coinbase, like user interface, but it's like you just swap.
It's just an app.
And so they had like 10% Tether, you know, 7%. It got down to 7%, you know, very solid rates where it's like, I actually made a bet with family members saying like, this is going to be around in 5 years because it's like such a, you know, it's KYC. They ask for your social security. And, you know, it's very easy rates and, you know, stable rates aren't going anywhere. But they kind of succumbed to U.S. regulators, I guess, for, I think it's, you know, is it, you think it's a scare tactic, but
so I think people are going to be upset too. I think that this is like one of those things where it's like, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Why can people not deposit their crypto to earn return?
Exactly. So that's,
and only if you're an accredited investor.
This past Monday on Celsius, they sent the email saying that you will, for new deposits, if you already have deposits in your account, like for me, I will be still earning interest, but no new money can go in and earn interest unless you're listed as an accredited investor. And in order to qualify as an accredited investor, you need to show income of over, you know, 200,000, 250,000. So that's like the 1%. So somebody tweeted out that got a lot of likes, and I liked it. It was like, basically there's two different Americans. One is a 40-year-old man who makes, you know, 250,000 a year, no debt, and is able to earn yield on his crypto. Then there's another American 40-year-old man is in debt, negative, makes 40,000 a year and can't earn interest on his crypto. So it's like two Americas right there, where it's like they're bowing down to Gary Gensler and, you know, the 1%, basically.
One of the interesting things, though, is like we look in retrospect where the tax thing is starting to hit a lot more people than it did before. And then there are more people investing. And I was talking with like some of my aunts and uncles where they were like, you know, our dad used to invest in stuff and like he would get tips from people here and there. And it's like only sophisticated or well-off or like intelligent people would invest. Everybody with the internet, that's been democratized, basically. Everybody invests. Everybody's having to deal with these things. And I think that people are starting to realize that it's kind of, you know, pardon my French, bullshit. Like,
it's rigged. It's a rigged game. It really is. Because it's like, what if you look at the stats where it's like 1% of, or like 93% of all the stock market is owned by like the top 1%.
And then, I mean, the inflation is just really starting to hit people and get people upset about it. People are wondering when people will start to move to Bitcoin as a hedge, but nobody can afford to right now. Like around the world, inflation, and I mean, I saw a heartbreaking video out of Shanghai where this guy was like, I have a business, like I pay my employees, like how am I going to eat? How are they going to eat? And the guy was just like snapping. It's like, not really the time in the world that's like particularly, it's like almost, I feel like, worse than some parts of COVID, because it's like, it's dragged on for so long, plus the Ukraine stuff.
Yeah.
It, like, the macro is dour.
It's so bleak, and it's hard to be optimistic.
But, I mean, it's like, you know, they're the joke accounts where it's like John Rich or something, or, like, and, like, just these Dr. Patel. And they're like, oh, yeah, my inflation is like losing me 7%. So I put it in the stock market and I lose 7% every day.
Or it's like, inflation, like, what's is 8%, a real safe haven? By investing your shit altcoin, I'm down 99%. So it's like
weird people betting on Bitcoin to hedge against the dollar, and now they're shitting against, or they're hedging against their shitcoin longs.
So it's like,
it's like, at least this is going to drop less than everything else. Like,
so do you just take the 8% loss instead of like the 90% loss at the shot of like being up 20%? So yeah, I think you see a lot of like scalp, people are trying to scalp 20% gains, like, and which is possible to do, but it's just so unpredictable that it's hard to, you know, keep track, or like how very hard to predict. So that's why, like, people leverage, like, don't use leverage.
Yeah, man. Did you see the guy?
Yeah, the Korean streamer.
I read a deep dive onto him. Yeah, like, we've been missing out on, and I think it really was what the people were saying was, it's like, you will get credibility, and Brian and I, we had the little hiatus, but the consistency of weekly just covering what, like, what happened this week, like this week in crypto.
We send there each other tweets and articles to get it.
Like, but did this you see guy this? Did a was it a 40K?
No, he did like 400.
400K, like 80x leveraged long.
And then
streamed it.
Yeah, and then he like tried to slept through it and he lost. And then he got 250K
he lent
long.
To him.
Yeah. And then immediately opened like an 80x long. And so people are making fun of him because it was like, it's kind of like a KSI crypto type of thing where it's like, he knows that he's losing this money, but he's like, you kind of think, is this on purpose just to get
so beat? So this was what it was apparently the background of this guy. He was from Korea and
he was
used
like
to
a
play
pro streamer. He played video games.
He'd play video games. And then he got into playing card games that were illegal to stream.
And then he ran and came back
and then got in jail. But apparently, like, got bailed out or something. And, like,
or he paid a fine or something.
So it's interesting to me how, you go to these crypto conferences and I met, shout out Delhi. I think it's Delhi 27. You can find him. He's pretty big.
ASAP
Ferg's little brother.
Shout out ASAP Ferg.
Yeah. Like, I would say more about him, but, like, I just met him very briefly. But I was really impressed. And, like, he had the whale pass, which there was, like, the, you know, the hierarchies of I had the general admission and the whale pass was quite a bit more to get into. But he was.
And you get this really big lanyard that indicate like, it's, like, obnoxious, almost a borderline obnoxious, would you say? That
I don't know.
Like,
he was just rocking this one. But talking with him, I, like, lost my train of thought because it was, well, talking with him, the way that he had made money off of crypto. And it's like, there's a lot of these niches and then interesting pathways that people haven't really considered where it's like, so this guy is losing money on stream, but he's got reference links and he's got like donations open. And it's like, is this all like a charade? Like, and I've read
it's
about,
like, you take the 250
or
loss.
You do a fake two, you do like, I remember hearing about like at Bernie Madoff's where they had the computers, but then like there was like someone behind the wall, like typing out the fake numbers to show people.
Yeah.
And it was like, they saw computers that they thought were real. And it's like, is this guy actually putting this money up? Like, can you verify it on chain?
They verified on chain, but matter of like, oh, I'm investing 250,000 to make a fool out of myself to, you know, be an internet meme or like, you know.
And then how much did he get donated?
Yeah.
How much did he get donated?
Exactly.
People and then he gets sponsors or something or attention and monetizing eyeballs and like.
Or like he gets Twitch subscribers. Like, yeah. So it's like, it's like that meme where it's like the thinker mode one with the black guys. Like,
wow.
You know, spending 250,000 to lose or longing 250,000 that you know you lose versus like gaining the internet celebrity that goes with being a meme or something. So,
yeah, and I mean, people were just watching him for hours. And I mean,
but like going back to the Bitcoin conference, like there wasn't that much like. Many like announcements like that. Salvador announcement.
The
like,
big announcement was that Jack Mallers had said that Striker, the point of service or the point of sale company, will be using the Lightning network, and that basically, even if you're using fiat, it would be an on and off ramp through Bitcoin. That would then be because, like, you know, if you use like a credit card, something might take a few days to clear. If they do these, you know, instantly, and that if you spend dollars, but it moves into Bitcoin, but out of Bitcoin, but then that's the transaction layer, and that actually everything is anonymous, what they're saying is that it's like, you can pay Bitcoin anywhere and it'll get immediately transferred to dollars on the Bitcoin network. But also, if you're just using dollars, it'll get transferred through Bitcoin into dollars, like immediately back again. And so some people are saying it's like, yeah, anywhere you can do an off-ramp from Bitcoin. So you could just pay with Bitcoin anywhere. And then this network is going to start competing with like the payment service companies that we have now. which is kind of huge.
Strike is like, or Striker, is Strike the Striker? Yeah. They're like one of the big, he's on like a lot of the news cycle. Like when they talk about Bitcoin, they get him on. And
yeah. I think Strike's the company though.
Yeah. It's Mallers. STRYKE.
Yeah.
It's spelled weird.
But I mean, they have all these point of service like contact areas that around the world could be Bitcoin off ramps. And what they're saying is that there's non-KYC. So if they're just going to start accepting Bitcoin from however they can accept it without asking who you are and doing the digital tracking.
That's crazy. I mean,
and I think the dominoes are starting to fall a lot around the world. A lot of places are doing what El Salvador did.
Yeah, which is almost like the same announced kind of today too, that they're going to be announcing pro-Bitcoin legislation. And then also, like, you know, South Korea, they elected the guy who won the election was very pro-crypto, trying to be more of an innovation. So I think a lot, you know, the midterms are coming up, right? So especially with this executive order, a lot of people, especially on crypto Twitter, will be like, you know, very listening into who is pro-crypto and who is not. And they have like the power of the internet. Like, who's that? Loomis? Is she from Wyoming or Tennessee or something?
She's from the Midwest. She's not from one of the coasts.
No, like Midwest or Wyoming. Like, it's like two different coasts, but it's like.
I just know she's not one from one of the big states.
No. She's she's like.
She's very Republican. Pro.
She's very pro crypto, but she's saying a lot of smart things about crypto. And like even Ted Cruz, like I don't really like Ted Cruz, but he's taking the pro Bitcoin route too in order to like try to gain votes. I think like being pro crypto,
it's just smart. I don't know smart. Who is against it.
Yeah,
and they might try to demonize it. I know Elizabeth Warren does, but
well, she's paid by the banks. Like Nancy Pelosi is definitely going to be against it, right? Like these people who earn money off banks. And that's why there's a lot of FUD going on while banks are buying money, right? Or banks are buying crypto is because they want to throw you off the, I feel like don't, like I'm not a conspiracy theorist, like type of person, but there's a purpose to throwing people off the trail, right? And you know, trying to up your position because it's a game. It's like a mind game within a game. So like, don't believe every, like definitely do your research and like, you know, don't hear things on, you know, first and just believe they're true basically.
Yeah. But I mean, steering back to kind of like the conference and what I felt about it and applying it to major things, it's inevitable. It's just slowly eating things away. It's getting more professional. The big gains are maybe in the past, you know?
I know. That's what I was thinking too, where it's like,
just like, this is like, it's here to stay.
And that was
maybe like the bigger gains are like, if you get involved at the ground floor or if you get into like, a business or something.
It's a bear market thing.
Like, yeah. Or if you're smart at DeFi, but like some of the really crazy Ponzi's and some of the really crazy, like, but there'll be some new things that shoot through the roof. I mean, wasn't Near the one that like recently was,
well, the Near thing was is that, during the Bitcoin conference, I like the only, so how I found out about Near was actually from last year from the Bitcoin, they hosted events, Near protocol events. I didn't know what Near was. And then it pumped during the Bitcoin conference last year. And then, you know, Z, he wrote about Near as like, you know, the second tier layer ones are about to pump. And then they announced, like before this Bitcoin conference, you know, 2022, is that they're going to have their own stable coin that depegged later. But like it was up 20% while everything was down, you know, 20%. So it was one of the few gainers, but now it's back down. So it's like it hasn't depegged at all. So,
but it was in the story. There were some people that wrote it up, but yeah, it just retraced. It was the full roller coaster ride.
The full like wormhole, like,
yeah,
like
But I was going to mention another piece of news where it was like, I forgot which protocol or which stablecoin will have its reserve managed by BlackRock. I was like, it's over. It's
over. But once you mention
BlackRock is in, you're just like,
it's like, fuck.
All right. Like, pack your bags. Like, it's over.
They got trillions in asset management, but.
Yeah, 10 trillion, I believe, because I was reading about them.
I think that's a they're case managing for like 50 Ohm, million.
Well, and I was seeing about how Ohm is like, I mean, their yield farms are like putting out 15 million a month. They're stable yields.
No, that's the pro. That's the, they're doing like 30 million, I'd say. 15 million is from like the Olympus. No, you're right. Olympus Pro, they're bonding. Service probably makes like 500,000, but the rest of it is the bonding. They make like 15 million a month or like 20 million a month. And there's been rumors about the Zeus paper that hasn't been totally released, but it's been like passed around in circle or talking about like a range. So, you know, to combat, you know, extreme price, you know, dumps, because it definitely got hurt by, you know, DeFi, all these Ohm forks failing. And so people sold, but it was actually, you know, nothing has really changed. I mean, I'm still in it, but, you know, they're still building it. And he proposed like a range to kind of get it back or, you know, get it back to triple digits and then not in how it can, you know, it can, you know, combat huge price decreases like we had that, like we saw in January.
Let's just move into the shills, because like I think it's been short and sweet, and we'll look to get back in the rhythm of like once on the weekends. And so Saturday, the T-Wolves are.
I do want to mention the bull. So they released the like the New York City bull, you know. They released a replica, but it was cool. But it had no balls. It had no balls. And crypto is all about balls. Because as you notice, like, this is what I've noticed within this past year. Because this has probably been the anniversary, you know, when we went to the last, or when I went to the last Bitcoin conference, we were just getting into crypto, you know. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, you know, type of mentality. And then now you're in, so much has happened.
It's the roller coaster.
And, you know, people ask you about crypto when things are high, you know, when it's in mainstream, but no one asks you about crypto when it's a bear market, when you should actually buy, right? So it's like,
what's going to be there in 5 years?
Or even the next year.
We're on our way to the shills as was. So Brian, you want to go ahead with your shill?
Yeah, I'm like all about farming right now. I think right now with the bear market, you're really beneficial to get some yield. Not just any shitcoin, but like large, like well-known high, you know, high market top 100 coin, something like that. And I think you know, what I just learned how to do was, you know, AVAX with staked AVAX. You can do the LP pool. But what I think is, but the APY is only like 15%. So it's like lower. But I think right now, if you do Joe with Avalanche and you do the LP pool, because they're pretty correlated, and you'll get like 50% on YieldYak. I've been using YieldYak. And that, I think this is the time to learn how to LP pool and farm, because, you know, impermanent loss is very low right now. As far as, you know, it's a down market. You're just trying to accumulate. I think we're going to be in a bear this the rest of the year. Goblin Town gang right here. So I think right now it's the LP pool. I'm really disappointed in the Celsius move. I was really banking on that 7% stables, but you like look for 10% stables to anchor, you know, 19% they say, but I think Duke Quan, like It's different.
It moves up and down because the 20%,
they're burning the fabled, a lot of money.
The fabled 20% is actually like unsustainable.
It's truly 11%. I think what they said, or like they're looking at it, like it's a 20%, but it's unsustainable. You like, if you notice, like Celsius this past year, it was like 10%, you know, for a long time, and then it went to 7%, and then now it's gone. But like, you know, Link 2, like it was at 7%. It was at 5%, it was at 3%, and now it's at like 2%. So I think single-sided staking is good, but I think you can get a lot more yield with LP pooling. And it's not that hard to learn. Just, you know, have half of each coin, and, you know, there's plenty of YouTube videos that will teach you how to LP pool now.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention from that where it's like, you know, the stablecoin, like, the idea of farming, I heard someone else tell me that it's basically like a marketing expense where then you get people invested into it, but you're spending money. And so, you know, ideally, if you're like a token protocol, like they should just want to hold your coin, and then you're rewarding people and you're kind of taking it out of your own pocket to do that. So it's something to think about where these rewards aren't going to last forever. And if you get the correct rewards, you make a lot more. And that basically you're taking a transfer of money from the protocol to yourself, but they're paying for your loyalty. And it then is, hopefully yeah. for you to be a holder and then to spread the good word of whatever shitcoin you're staking for whatever. And it's like almost better if it's not insane, you know, numbers.
I mean, all you got to be is competitive.
Yeah.
Right.
And you like maybe you're early, but then maybe it's a little secret. And I know some people that just chase those little farms that are super secret, but.
Nothing, I think this is actually a big lesson that I think I've learned is that nothing lasts forever. Nothing good ever lasts. Where it's like, you have to be, like, yeah, 900 APY is nice, but you maybe you'll get that for like a couple weeks, like not a whole year. You can't bank on 80,000 APY the whole year, like time. But, you know, nothing lasts, and you have to be cognizant. And I think this is, if you're in crypto now, you're caring about your money and your like finances right now. And then, so you're constantly tracking that. I think, you know, being in crypto kind of helps that, like, you know, keeping track of your money, being secure about it.
Yeah. For me though, it's a different thing, and it's kind of like the ecosystem, but what I was going to say is the music NFT scene, the ecosystem.
That's what we also didn't. But it's like, it's hard to. From last year.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we can cover the NFT segment on the next podcast, but it's like the music NFTs and how it can disrupt the crypto industry and then people moving into it and then how to invest in it and get exposure. So I was seeing people doing really like, you know, like Series A and like seed funding for like good projects with like people from Apple. Like I mentioned, you know, I went to a very fancy NFT party.
Web 2 is leaving, or people from Web 2 are leaving to go to Web 3, which is
crypto. But like, you know, like you go from like crypto punks, which are pixelated, to Bored Apes, which are drawings that some people think are ugly. And then you start moving into music and NFTs, and it's like, okay, this is going to be a whole new thing that people haven't figured out yet.
Concert experience. I think that's a huge thing. Like Coachella.
Proof of actual participation, POAPs.
Or like you can.
Or proof of attendance or something.
Yeah, proof of attendance, but also like giving out like a special like moment. You know, kind of what like Kanye has been doing with these concerts, or like, you know, Donda release. Where it's like CD releases, bonus concerts, you know, only releasing songs,
not the Nigerian, coffin, or the pallbearers.
Yeah, the meme.
The meme sold for $1 million.
Yeah,
I love the meme. It's like a really good meme whenever someone's like dead, and it's like if someone gets
buried. Or like the Undertaker, like coming back to life. Like
certain memes are going to be worth a lot, and then now. The commercial rights for the Bored Apes are being purchased by Coinbase for $10,000 per person to be put in their three movies.
Yeah, they're going to make Bored Ape movies.
A trilogy. Production
company. That sounds so... I feel like that movie's going to suck. That's like,
sounds cringe.
That's like when you try to make Warcraft movies. The cartoon Warcraft movies. And try to capitalize. Hey,
careful, though. I like the Warcraft movie. And I always thought
you that... You like that movie?
I thought Blizzard should have gone more into the movies. I was disappointed because it could have been better.
But it's going to be a half-ass. That's how you know it's going to be a half-ass.
I think in the future, they start though, their own production. But the thing is, they have such good IP. And it's like, we've been watching Succession. And then there's the tech, which is NFTs. But making movies out of Bored Ape, like the IP is shit. Like it's going to be NFTs of Disney shit. It's going to be like, it's going to be Disney song NFTs. Dude,
there's going to be a whole Marvel NFT. Get the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it's going to be Marvel movies. Yeah. And, it's cringe. It's kind of sad. So, on the last note, it's bet on the industry vultures taking all the profits. And then, okay, sorry with inflation.
Think of any like 3-second clip, video clip, you can monetize it and turn it into NFT and sell it.
I saw there's the Blue's Clues guy. Is it Steve or something?
Yeah.
Where he points out and it's like a clue, but like it's like behind him are like red candles. And he's like, buy the dip, like, dude.
This is the dip. Keep
dipping. We're all dead, bro. We're all gonna die. So bet on smarter, richer people taking the money. I don't know. That's a sad way to say it. But
be careful. Be wary.
Yeah. Be smart and try to find out. You know. At the flip side, there were a lot of people that were like Tesla, electric cars. It's a good idea. And there were a lot of really rich, smart people that shorted it. So sometimes. I was talking about it with my dad, a couple of them. There's a lot of people who are like, dude, I'm into UFC and I like chicken wings and I go to B-dubs to watch UFC and I'm going to invest in them. And a lot of those people got rich. And Chipotle, where they're like, dude, we have a friend that goes to Chipotle all the time.
He's a manager. I know how to build or how they make the guacamole.
They do a good job. And then if you invest in these things, I would say, you know, and this is why it's so tough where the NFT music ecosystem, something's going to hit. How to figure out what? There's like nothing that even, you can't even name. So I'll give you one name, sound.xyz. I heard their name. And so let's see, but there's no clear even front runner. And it's like really not.
It's up for grabs.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people just want the short, like we talk, talk about the short game and the long game. Like,
but whoever gets this like is going to like really hit it.
In the infinite game. There's so many people want to take the finite game and get the money, get out. Scam you, get out. There's so many celebrities, Floyd Mayweather, you know, like, you know, Lana Rhodes, porn star, like people are trying to make NFT, Kim Kardashian even, trying to get these NFT projects and just Darren Fox is probably going to get sued. Like trying to, you know, rug people who have no business rugging people, no need to rug people. And they just do that because it's easy money. So it's like, it's really hard to like right now, especially in a bear market, so many scams. I'm getting so many like Twitter tags about like.
It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic with like 20 people's, 40 people's names.
Exactly.
It's a problem.
So bear market, the scams come out. So, you know, even I got an email from a family member today. Where it's like people are phishing to drain Bitcoin accounts, like scam and like, you know.
Be careful. You know,
so be careful, especially in this bear market.
Yeah, and that, bullish on VPNs
and farming. And
tech security.
Yeah, and some people say to get a whole separate laptop for a crypto.
Bullish on getting separate laptops for crypto
and
transactions.
That's something I want to like get into. And when I actually have money worth, you know, storing is, you know, being secure, getting their hardware wallet. And, you know, that's how it is.
Totally. Well, peace out. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll be with you guys soon.
That was our Miami recap. We'll probably, you know, follow up on that.
But, yeah, get back in the rhythm of it.
But this is our after a while, so peace.